Welcome to True Spirituality Network. We are focused on spreading the gospel of God's love across the world. The Bible says, there is no fear in love, and perfect love casts out every fear. As you feed on God's love for you, allow His love to cast out every fear, worry, and anxiety. God loves you.
Amen. It is always an awesome time to come together and feed on the word of God. Jesus said, whosoever eats of this manna will hunger no more. If you drink of the water that Jesus is offering, you will thirst no more. And we've preached this over and over on this platform that only Jesus can satisfy our soul. No matter what ambition is, no matter what we are looking after, no matter what we are chasing, it can never to be compared to the satisfaction we get when we feed on the word of God. It is refreshing. It is not motivation. When we preach the word of God, you are encouraged, you are edified, you are exhorted. It is not you psyching your emotion. There is a refreshing that comes with feeding on the word of God. It comes with a lot of rest, a lot of rest. Glory to God. David put it this way in the book of Psalms 23. He restores my soul. And anyway, we've been on a series, Grace Upon Grace, and we're going to preach a lot about the grace of God in 2022 because I want you to see more of the grace of God manifest in your life. The amazing thing about anything that has to do with God is the more you talk about it, the more you teach about it, the more people see it manifest in their lives. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if I were to ask you, which would you prefer? Do you prefer to get only the things you deserve in 2022, or you want to keep getting the good you don't deserve? I bet you most of you will say you want to get the good you don't deserve. And that is how God wants us to live. That is why when we got saved, salvation is a gift from God that we did not deserve. God gave us Jesus when we didn't deserve anything good. We were supposed to die. We were supposed to be judged because we were sinners when Christ died for us. Christ did not die for Christians. He died for the sins of the whole world. And whosoever believes in Jesus, whosoever you are, as long as you can believe in Jesus, automatically you receive total forgiveness of sins. Total forgiveness of sins is one of the gift things that manifest on the day you got saved. Your sins are forgiven and wiped away, past, present, and future. I love that good news. I want to hear this for the rest of my life. You believe in Jesus and you receive total forgiveness of sins. It does not matter where you are coming from. It does not matter how bad you think you are. The grace of God abounded much more than your sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, where sin abounds, no matter how think you think, how bad you are, no matter how bad you think your neighbor is, the Bible says, where sin abounds. You know what? The grace of God superabounds. The grace of God superabounds. That simply means grace is higher than sin. So no matter how bad, how sinful you think you are, if you believe in Jesus automatically, you receive total forgiveness of sins. Now that is if you're not born again. But if you're born again, the good news is that means all your sins are forgiven. So stop allowing the enemy to haunt you or sin on you with your past. Stop allowing yourself to be condemned because you've been justified. And you know who justifies you? It is the Son of the living God himself. So we cannot say, what is the Lamb that was slain to receive blessings, power, and riches? Because the person who died on that cross of Calvary is the Son of the living God. And if God will give you his only begotten Son when you were a sinner, how much more now you're born again? You begin to still get the good you don't deserve. Experience God's goodness that you don't merit. I want a life like that. I want to keep seeing God manifest in my life, giving me the good I don't deserve. Glory to God. John chapter 1 verse 16. The Bible says, oh Lord, you're awesome. John chapter 1 from verse 16. John chapter 1 from verse 16 to verse 17. The Bible says, I'm reading NLT this time. From his abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. Another version will say, out of his fullness have you received grace upon grace. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, But God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. Another version says, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And the more we talk about the grace of God, it unveils God's unconditional love. In fact, NLT likes to put unconditional love, unfailing love, when it comes to grace. Because why? You know, 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. When we talk about grace, for example, me unveiling the fact that when Jesus died for us, we didn't deserve him. What we deserved from the Holy God as sinful men before Jesus died was judgment. We were on our way to hell. But God sent Christ to save us from hell and the judgments to come. We didn't do anything. We didn't deserve it. Ephesians 2, chapter 6, I believe 7, says, it is by grace you have been saved and not by your works. It is by grace you have been saved and not by your works. We were all saved by grace. None of us deserve salvation. But God being a good God, but God being a gracious God, because God loves you, he decided to give you the good you don't deserve. We were so much in our sin when Jesus died, we were the ones that nailed Jesus to the cross. And even on that cross of Calvary, all Jesus could say is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. That is unfailing love. So when you talk about grace, it amplifies the love of God. When you talk about the love of God, it makes us see God in his graciousness. And when you see great God in his graciousness, it effortlessly builds your faith. For example, Psalm 23. David will say, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, we've already established this. The law was given by Moses. Law speaks about what man must do, what man must not do. It put emphasis on man, focuses on man. And when you focus on yourself, it leads to stress, it leads to disappointment. Because when you don't catch up with the things, with your self-expectation, you're disappointed in yourself, you are stressed. And then when you're able to catch up with your self-expectation, including your religious activity, it leads to pride. You start comparing yourself. Well, you've done this, you've done that, you've done this. The focus is not supposed to be on yourself. God wants your focus to be on Jesus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. So under the grace, our focus is on Christ. Our message is Christ. We preach Jesus. Jesus is the super savior. Under the law, it's all about man. That's when man amplifies himself. Man wants to be the superman. We only have a super savior. We don't have any superman. Only super savior. To man, the law focuses you on yourself. Grace focuses you on Christ. When I preach a lot about grace, I point you to Jesus and what he has done for you. And that is the gospel. The gospel of Christ is the gospel of grace, unveiling the righteousness of God, which is a gift, unveiling God's faithfulness, God's goodness over your life. That is what God wants us to preach. So when you talk about God walking, that is grace. Man walking, that is the law. God wants you to rest so that he can walk. Under the old covenant, it is man. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do this. Under the new covenant, Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says, God will say, I will, and that is God walking. Under the old covenant, it is you must not, thou shalt not. But under the new covenant, you see God says, I'll be merciful unto your unrighteousness, and your sins I'll remember no more. I will be your God, you will be my people. It is more of what God will do in the new covenant, and more of what God has done. Forgiving your sin. God has totally forgiven you. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. God's love for you is not unto your next mistake. God's love for you has surpassed time. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. Glory to God. So under the grace, he speaks about what Christ has done and what God is doing behind the scene. So Psalm 23 exegesis, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Listen, he makes me to lie down. Who is doing the work? Him, God. God makes me to lie down. He leads me beside the still water. Who is walking? God, because under the grace, man rests, God walks. And I want you to see more of God walking in your life. The truth of the matter is, if you walk out all your results, you have to keep walking to sustain all your results. But if God is the one working these things out, according to the book of Philippians chapter 2, it is God that worketh in us to will and to do, then he is the one that has to keep sustaining what he's doing in your life. Man's effort, if he gets you a result, you need man's effort to keep and maintain that result. If God's effort is what gets you a result, guess what? God has to make sure he keeps sustaining that thing. And guess what? God is a good sustainer. He's a very good sustainer. So he leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. Who is walking? God is the one working. Psalm 23 is a psalm of grace. Unveil what God is doing behind the scene. He restores my soul. He leads me beside the path of righteousness. For his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of death, I'll fear him. You know why? For he is with me. Who is the focus of Psalm 23? God. Who is Psalm 23 amplifying? God himself. He has prepared the table before me. God is the one working. And if you want to see God manifest more in your life, he is working. But if you want to see more of his work in your life, you have to stop putting the focus on yourself and allow him to do what he loves to do best. Glory to God. So we teach about the grace of God. It amplifies God's unconditional love. Let us go to Luke chapter 15 and go wrap it up on Luke chapter 15. Thank you, Jesus. Very popular place in the scripture, Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read from verse 1. Very popular story. I'm going to read the parable of the sheep or of the shepherd. I know technically we call this parable of the lost sheep, but you know, the superhero in that particular parable is actually the shepherd, not the sheep. Luke chapter 15, we're just going to get from verse 1 to verse 7, NLT. Luke chapter 15. Glory to God. When you talk about the grace of God, when you unveil how much God loves you independent of you, it makes you understand you are radically loved. Grace of God exposes us to the love of God, unconditional love of God. And we are not trying to be loved. We've been loved with an everlasting love. When it comes to religious activity on this platform, True Spirituality Network, I feel as if we do a lot of religious activity. And we know that God's love for us is not based on our religious activity. It is the fact that we know God loves us that we want to fellowship every day. We have two sessions every day, in the morning, in the evening, and every single day. Maybe apart from Sunday morning, because we want people to go to church. But as much as we are consistent with it, and we've been consistent with this since 2019, this is 2022. Officially, we started 2019 with our daily sessions here, and we hardly miss any day. But you know what? As awesome as that is, building a consistency around our spiritual life, not missing any day, fellowshipping, praying, studying the word of God. We've taught on almost all the major places in the scripture. We've added taught the book of Matthew, John, the book of Ephesians, the book of Song of Solomon, the book of Job, the book of Revelation, all major places in the scripture. We've done so many Bible exegesis. We have over 600 content online. God has blessed us. But as awesome as this is, as beautiful as this is not the reason why God loves us. God would have loved us, even if we are not doing any of these things we are doing. God still loves us. But you know what? There is no way you understand the love of God and it won't produce what they call good works. It will produce the fruit of the Spirit. You just want to keep loving on that Jesus. Because the Bible says we love because he loved us first. So the more you unveil how much he loves you, you effortlessly love him in return. You can't help it. The fruit of the Spirit is love. When you see people that are finding it hard to give their time to God, to spend time with God, to love on Jesus, it's because they need more teachings on the fact that they are loved by God. It is not for you to say, oh boy, these guys don't love God, they are not serious with their spiritual life. No. Pump them with the love of God. It's a matter of time. Keep pumping them. Keep pumping them. They will love God in return, effortlessly. Anyway, Luke chapter 15. Thank you, Jesus. When you amplify the grace of God, it makes people see that God genuinely loves them. And I bet you what the world is looking for today is love. People have been hurt. People have been really, really hurt. And at times, people are finding hard to even trust again. The world is desperately looking for love. That is why even if you go to if you listen to 90% of secular music, they are talking about love, even though they don't know what love is, even though they are singing the wrong kind of love. But again, you see that their songs, the lyrics is centered around love, even though it's not scriptural kind of love. But the world is desperately looking for love. Somebody has a breakup, he turns it to a song. It becomes an it song. You know what I'm talking about. So my point is, it's all centered around love. You see that people are looking for love, or it is just love. But you know what? God himself is love. You found Jesus, then you found a lover that will love you for the rest of your life. Glory to God. God's love cannot change. You know, in in our walk with God, there are times whereby, and days whereby we go through stuff, and then we may get distracted. There are days whereby you are unable to catch up with your religious activity, and then at times your love for God may grow cold. It depends. At times you could go through stuff. So it may change your love for God. Your love for God may shake. God's love for you would never change. Even days when you are silly, days when you just decided to just be unnecessarily silly, it doesn't change the way God feels about you. God's love for you can never, never change. You are forever loved, forever forgiven, forever justified. You can't change that. The reason why you were justified is because of your faith in Christ. So even if you get silly, which you shouldn't get silly, my point is, I'm just trying to make you understand, you are already loved. You are stuck with the God, love of God for life. Luke chapter 15 from verse 1. Listen, the Bible says, tax collectors and notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus preach. I could preach on just Luke 15, 1 for a whole session. Listen, Bible time. Tax collectors and notorious sinners. I love this verse so much. The gospel is not just for the believer. The world needs the gospel much more than the believer. Because the believer has had the gospel. He has believed in the gospel. But the world needs to believe in the gospel. Because whatsoever Jesus, listen, you have to pay attention to this. If you're a preacher, you're a minister, whatsoever Jesus must have been preaching, it had to be good news. Because if it wasn't good news, no notorious sinner will come around, no tax collectors will come around to listen to Jesus. He must have been preaching radical good news. He must have been preaching message of hope, message of faith, message of love. Or else, sinners will not come around. Only church people, religious people will come around. Ah, this is awesome. The message of Jesus, sinners wanted to hear it. I believe he was preaching the message of grace, the message of unconditional love. Oh, Lord, Kasiva, this is awesome. But we can have an idea, a little idea of what he preached in the other verses of Luke 15. The Bible says, verse 2, this made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. Only religious people will have issues with the grace of God. Why? Because religion wants us to only amplify our self-effort. And when we focus on self-effort, it leads to pride. Because if I do more than you do, I can always feel spiritually superior to you. And then if you do less than I do, you can feel spiritually inferior. But you know what? When it comes to the message of grace, it's not about us. So none of us can boast. It's all about Jesus, about God. And the only person we amplify is God himself. Religious people had issues with Jesus because Jesus seemed to make God very accessible for the sinner. But the reason why Jesus came in the first place is for the sinner, so that the sinner can be saved. Whosoever believes in Jesus receives total forgiveness of sins. Religious people have issues with the message of grace. That is why even in this generation, when you see people preach grace and some people, the only set of people that will have issues with the teaching of grace are religious people. They don't like it when you tell people they don't have to do anything. Because religion will always tell you have to do everything. Religion says do everything to reach God. The grace of God says believe in Jesus because God has done everything to reach out to you. Your only way to reach out to God is to believe. Religion tells you have to do everything. You have to do this, you have to do that. You have to do this, you have to do that in order to reach a holy God. The grace of God tells you that the holy God is the one searching for the sinful man. And the only way the sinful man can respond to the holy God is to believe in Jesus. When you believe in Jesus, the Bible says, whoever believes in him receives total forgiveness of sins. I love this gospel. Glory to God. So they had issues with Jesus for trying to reach out to the sinner. And then verse 3, listen. So Jesus, after he realized that they were hungry, the Bible says, he told them the story. What story did Jesus tell them? Let me wrap up on this note. The Bible says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one which is lost until he finds it? And that is what God does for you. Times when you maybe you're going through a stuff, or you fall into temptation, and then you fall into sin, God is the one that searches for you. And then your soul starts running away from God because you feel as if you are no longer worthy to stand in His presence. He searches for you and He finds you. Oh my God, this Jesus is awesome. You are the one that messed up. He's the one that is looking for you. You know those times when you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I promise I've come back to you, I'll not do that again. It was God that found you. God is such a good God. Anyway, so the Bible says in verse 5, and if he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. Listen, Jesus is so cool. Jesus is portraying the image that the shepherd is the one that is happy finding the sheep. Who should be happy that they find each other? Is it not the sheep that should be glad that, thank God, the shepherd found him? The Bible says the shepherd is happy, joyous. Now, what Jesus is trying to do, I know this Bible we call it the lost sheep, but technically, it's more about the superhero shepherd or the loving shepherd. And when we talk about the grace of God again, it amplifies God's love for you. God has loved you. But at times, if what we make you see it is when you go through tough situation, or when you realize your love for God is growing cold, but yet God's unconditional love for you does not change, and you keep seeing the hand of God, you keep seeing the grace of God, it makes you appreciate God's love for you. We are not the ones seeking after God. It is God working in us to will and to do in the first place. So God, Jesus, was portraying the image of a savior, of a shepherd that keeps looking for the sheep and not the other way around. Why did they come up with the parable? Because they had issues with Jesus spending time with the sinners. And Jesus is making them understand, it is all about me searching for you in the first place. I have always been searching for you. And you know what? Let me wrap it up on this note. A good preacher wraps up 7 times. So this is my 6th wrapping up. Let me make you see something. Verse 6 says, when he arrives, he will call others together. He will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents and returns to God. Stop. Pay attention to what you're saying. Jesus is saying there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. You know what repent means? Change your mind. And sadly, religion preaches repentance to be, well, you've gone astray, find your way back to God. Jesus preached repentance to be, you've gone astray, God has found you, you responding to God is called repentance. Not my words. Read your Bible very well. Good Bible student. Religion says, oh, if you've fallen away, find your way back to God. Jesus preaches repentance to be, when you fall away, God finds you. And when he finds you, he opens his hands again to you. And then when you hug him, when you receive his love for you again, Jesus said there is joy in heaven once that repents. What did the sheep do in this context to repent? Because if you read in between the lines, the sheep never did anything. The shepherd did everything. So why would Jesus say the sheep repented? Because chapter 7, verse 7 again says, in this same way, there is joy, more joy in heaven over one lost sinner that repents, one, and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So what did this guy do to repent? You know what he did? I preached on this before some time ago. He responded to the love and to the graciousness of the shepherd. It was the shepherd that was looking for the sheep. The shepherd found the sheep. The shepherd carried the sheep on his shoulder. The shepherd brought the sheep home. The shepherd threw a party. And the Bible says, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. The sheep didn't do anything. But you know, technically what he did was to allow the shepherd to find him. Allow the shepherd to carry him on the shoulder. Allow the shepherd to throw a party. When we respond to the unconditional love of God, that is repentance. Because repentance is changing your mind from you thinking God doesn't love you to now believing that God radically loves you. You are unconditionally and forever loved. It can't change. It can never, never change. Your situation might change. Your challenges will change. The things you go through will change. Your bank account will change. One thing can never change. It's called the love of God towards you. And blessed are you if you understand this truth. Because God wants you to live in the consciousness of his love for you. God wants you to know that he will keep showing up for you even when you don't deserve it. You know why? Because he is the picture of the shepherd in this story. And you are the picture of the sheep in this story. Most especially if you are listening to this and you've not been faithful to God in the past few days of this year. You've not really, really been so consistent in your work with God. You've been living a life that is not pleasing to God. I want you to know that God never stopped loving you. And he wants you to respond to his love. Allow him to carry you. Allow him to put you on his shoulder. Allow you to bring you back home to the consciousness of who you are in Christ. And allow him to throw a party. And when you do that, the Bible says you will repent it. And now that you've changed your mind to seeing God that he still loves you, you begin to live a life pleasing to God. Glory to God. So the grace of God amplifies God's unconditional love for us. Father, we thank you. You're such a good God. Thank you for, this is always awesome every time I personally come here to just come and unveil the truth of your word to your people. You're such a good God, Father. And Lord, let this mind be in every one of us that we are already loved by you, radically loved by you, completely forgiven, forever justified, and your grace, your mercy is haunting us now. We'll begin to get the good we don't deserve because Jesus took all our bad that he didn't deserve. And surely God's goodness and mercy, favor, and grace shall follow us all the days of our lives. We shall dwell in your house forever and ever. And let God's people say, amen. Thank you so much for connecting from any part of the world you're joining us from. There are so many content that are related to the content you just have right now. We have online. We have over 600 contents online that will radically bless you and change your life. On faith, hope, love, grace, peace, all teachings that will really encourage you. If you need prayer and encouragement, we have teachings related to that. We have prayer movements we've uploaded online for free for you to download. Just go on our Spotify account, either Spotify or Amazon Music or Audio Mac or any major audio platform to go and feed on our content from time to time. And I know the more you feed on the grace of God, the more you begin to see the grace of God manifest. Glory to God. It's been an awesome ride. I'm going to see you tomorrow. We'll continue this series from here tomorrow. And until then, God bless you.
If you have been blessed by this message, we invite you to partner with us to send the gospel of God's love to all nations. Send us an email on truespiritualitynetwork@gmail.com. You can also follow us on all social media platforms, True Spirituality Network on both Facebook and Instagram, T-Spirituality on Telegram, and Akimika on YouTube. So catch up with all our podcasts, search for Akimika on all major platforms, including Spotify, Audio Mac, and Anchor. As you feed on God's love for you, allow his love to cast out every fear. And remember, it's not about you, it's all about Jesus.